Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, and the man who keeps falling off the couch every time he tries to clean himself, Ryan Preston.
I used to be able to bend a lot easier than I do now.
Yeah, he's just not as flexible
anymore.
Getting old,
anymore. Man. Getting old.
And it's
got to start that yoga shit.
And it's really weird when you're trying to do a podcast and all of a sudden you hear thunk. It's like, dude.
You gotta stretch for those testes.
You got to.
I'll lay your yoga mat down next time.
Yeah, you be on level ground and not on the phone. Oh, my God. So, unfortunately, there's nothing exciting going on. It's a great way to start a podcast, by the way.
Well, yeah, which is really terrible because apparently I have to live up to the fucking expectations of the immediate fucking greatness of the new fucking co-host.
Wait a second. So, but you're the one that's supposed to be
liver now.
Posing us a question.
What is your question? But I wanted to rant first.
About what?
He's not a replacement.
About the fact that you had to go and have dates while we're doing the show because
I'm being replaced. I know what that. What that's like, and that's what this is.
Oh, I'm sure you do. I remember Jess. Bam!
Well, to be fair, the club of replacements for her is quite big.
That is true.
You sunk his battleship.
Hey, I was there first.
I know. Oh, man, I was about to say something terrible.
Wait. What's
about her or me? Or both?
About her.
Oh, that's
Jess,
easy to do.
But I'm sorry anyway for my terrible thoughts. I'm sure you're a lovely lady now.
I don't know. I think she blocked me on Facebook again, but I don't use that shit anyways.
You know what? Look, I know she got married and had a kid. I'm super thrilled for her. I'm sure she's all. Look, we were all young and stupid. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not everybody can be have the greatest reputation.
James has been blocked more on Facebook than the local Ku Klux Klan Facebook page.
They haven't blocked me yet.
It's quite amazing. Every time I hear from James, how's it going? Oh, another person blocked me. What'd you do? I said hello.
Well, the KKK, I imagine, have some pretty thick skin. They're probably used to taking it on the fucking chin pretty often on the internet.
I wasn't thinking they were taking it on the chin, but
I didn't hear the KKK part. I'm sure they like it on the chin. Anyways, what was your question?
You didn't hear what I said?
No, I did.
Oh. So, yeah, so I've been having this conversation with a couple of people lately, and I was curious in your thoughts. What people consider common sense, okay? Like sort of whatever comes to mind when you think the word common sense. Taking the word sort of common out of it and the connotation just from the title, would you think that that common sense is learned behavior, or is it something innate to all of us? And I'm not talking about, oh, that brush is rustling over there, maybe I shouldn't go in there because I might be eaten by a lion. I'm not talking about instinct kind of shit. I mean, like, common sense, like, oh, I have some common sense, do such and such, whatever that sort of translates to you, you know?
Well, you kind of brought it up with whether or not it's learned behavior or just innate, and that basically is the oldest argument of nature versus nurture, because, I mean, nurture, you're going to learn through a circumstances of consistent behavior, you learn that there is a certain result of that, so that would be nurture, and then nature would just be like, oh, you know, like, that looks like it's going to hurt.
I would say most of it was, I'd say a good part of it is probably learned behavior. And like stuff that's either from your parents or, like James said, some of it's from just life experience, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For one, the people who, I don't know who really says this anymore, nature versus nurture. I've always thought
that's an old argument.
It's an old one, but it's also, I mean, it's obviously both. You know what I mean? Anybody who really actually had that argument with anybody has to come to that conclusion of like, well, of course it's, the way I've always kind of looked at it is you're sort of given this filter, you know, half by your mom, half by your dad, and then your life experience gets sort of passed through that filter. You know, whatever that filter is colors your sort of, you know, how you interpret your experience, but your experience is everything.
So you know, you've had a rough life once you left your parents' house.
What's that?
So you've had a rough experience once you left your parents' house.
I mean, you know, not obviously relative to fucking somebody else's, not so much. But You know, fucking everybody's got their moments, but with common sense, with the sort of innate, you know, thing, like I always thought that there, it always occurred to me that there was sort of a base of knowledge there. You know what I mean? Whether it's something you learned as a kid, you know, let's say 5 years old, you run out of the middle of the street, your mom fucking screams at you or whacks you for almost getting killed by some car. You can later on sort of take that base knowledge and infer, hey, maybe this fucking train will hurt too if it hits me, or falling objects suck. You know what? Something you're like objects colliding with each other are bad, and you sort of take that, and that's kind of common sense to a certain degree.
I would,
right?
I would disagree in one thing, far as about kids. You can tell a kid 1,000 times not to do that because it'll hurt, and inevitably the kid will do that. I think some of it just comes back to the fact that at some point the kid is smart enough. I think that's more observational. Like, not
well,
the
thing is, it's curiosity. I get that. But then when you actually do that thing, don't touch that fucking fire. I said don't touch it. And then you do it. I told you not to touch it. Now how do you feel?
Well, I mean, it's like the old...
Well, my question to my son, and it's something like that, is, did you learn anything?
Yeah.
And if he says no, then I said, well, we're going to repeat the same mistake. That's what I tell him. I mean, you got to learn something if you hurt yourself.
I think it was, there's a comedian. I think it was Christopher Titus that has a joke about, you know, stick a penny in a light shot, a socket, shot your ass 8 feet. Not going to do that no more.
That's not necessarily true, though.
Well,
you would think that they wouldn't do that again, but, you know, next time they'll probably use a nickel.
Okay, and here's the other part of the argument that I've had is that in life, especially as we hit, you know, adolescence and shit like that, you know, there's this risk-reward math going on in our heads constantly. You know what I mean? Like, any given circumstance, something comes up. You probably know that electricity will kill you, but what's the benefit of either doing something funny or getting something good out of it, you know?
I'm the wrong person to talk to on that, because I was the person who, let's just say everybody was like, hey, let's jump off this bridge. I was the person going, I'll watch you jump off that bridge, and I'll be the person calling 911 to save your ass. So I was always risk averse.
Are worried about the consequences more than we are sort of either fitting in with the group or impressing our friends or just doing something funny, well, whatever it is.
My childhood, it was less, granted, I never wanted to get hurt, but for me, it was also something greater. It was fear of dad. I've joked, and I think I've even said it on the show, when I was a kid, I was never afraid of getting arrested. It was going home I wasn't looking forward to. So for that, it was the consequences of my actions, like, from my dad. Like, would I get grounded? Would I get screamed at? I mean, what exactly were going to be to that?
Yeah.
So that,
and that's all things that we sort of kind of do that math in our head, but it's all from the past experience, you know, or just learned behavior. I know this guy that's just convinced that I swear to God, I'm becoming a hippie in my old age. I'm such a peacenik now.
Yeah, patchouli oil.
No, not quite that far. No, right. If you see me in patchouli oil or bourbon, I'm going to shoot you. You have the right to beat the shit out of me still.
I'm going to shoot you.
I'm not a snowflake.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a challenge for you. If you happen to know who Ryan Preston actually is in real life, and you see him in Birkenstocks and possibly wearing patchouli, we ask you, please take said picture and send it to us. We really want to fulfill
his
vow.
Please feel free to roll up to me like Nazi Germany and sniff me like you're asking for my fucking papers. You're welcome.
We're just going to have guys send some to his girlfriend for him.
It's not going to be patchouli.
Anyways.
But fuck with that.
You were saying you're becoming a hippie in your old age.
Yeah, well, I know this guy who would meet somebody, have the shortest interaction with them based off of a certain type of lack of common sense, would just immediately assume they're dumb. Like, in all aspects of life, this is a stupid person. The way he puts it, they hit roadblocks all the time in life, and it's humorous to him. But I'm a fan of people doing dumb shit, getting fucking, you know, dumb results.
Well, you've known me for years.
The next guy, but
my initial reaction to everybody is you're dumb until proven otherwise.
Right, but also
wait, hold on.
Say that sort of
rewind this real quick. Set this up. So your friend, that you know a person who meets people and after a short interaction period says they're stupid because of?
Because of some, this is somebody I work with. Somebody who shows up, remind me never to mention where I work now.
Don't mention it. I'm trying to figure out an example like where this would fit in. Cause I'm
right. Let's say showing up to my place of work without calling to set an appointment.
And he just assumes that person is a retard.
Would you assume? Yeah. Well, maybe not like intellectually disabled. I don't know if that's what you meant.
Now, would this person be wanting said services? Would this person want said services to happen that day? Or would this be just talking about said services?
Let's say that they do, let's say that they walk in and they say, hey, can we have the person cremated today? And we're like, shit, no, there's a,
are they dead first?
Let's say they died 3 hours ago and they walk in and they say, hey, we want to do the cremation today. Now, based off of that one thing,
I would say they're dumb.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Well, here, the reason I wouldn't is because I mean,
the body's not even cold yet. I mean, you still stick a thermometer and get a temperature out the liver.
Well, a couple of things. One is how often do people deal with death? If this was 50 years ago, I would say, yeah, this person's kind of an idiot because.
Cremated after 50 years?
Well, no, like the 50 years ago or 80 years ago, maybe somebody would have an idea, but how many people nowadays would know, A, that there's a waiting list, two, there's a certain, there's even a medical reason why you have to wait. I'd just say they're inexperienced or, that they don't understand it.
What if they're afraid they're going to turn into zombies after 4 hours?
Then they're fucking stupid.
That is the time frame, 4 hours. That is, in fact, when you turn into a zombie.
I know.
I'm just, I just wouldn't say they're stupid and all means alive, because.
Well, that's the thing is okay, and here, let me clarify something with James a little bit, or attempt to. And I know he's already fucking snickering at me, so this is going to be difficult.
You're screwed, brother.
It's one thing, I absolutely, if we were all fucking three sitting together, or if we worked together or something like that, and somebody did some shit like that, I would absolutely be like, dumb shit, and talk a ton of shit because I'm an asshole and whatever, and it's just my nature to talk shit. I like busting balls. It's one of my favorite hobbies. But that's one thing to sort of do that in jest, because you guys know my point of view. It's another to actually have that as my worldview. And actually assume that person just goes home and does stupid shit all day long because they're stupid. It's absolutely dismissive, So
I think James actually got what you were saying before you said it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I agree though. 100%.
It's really hard with James because most people don't understand how capable he is of fucking with you longer than you expect him to be.
Well, the fact he's snickering.
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, so here's the thing. Does this said person understand anything about, say, computers or electronics?
Cursory.
Okay. So hold on. I think we're actually getting off track of where this is supposed to be going. So Ryan is saying this guy is just automatically assuming that any person that he meets in day-to-day life is an idiot. And he's basing it off of their actions. Hold on. Yeah. So if he, let's say, is going into a liquor store and the guy behind him tries to pull the door when it's a push door, he's going to assume that person behind him is just a fucking dumbass who doesn't know how to live his life. Because he's not using his basic common sense to look at the door. Oh, the hinge is this way. Or it actually says push or pull on the fucking door.
Everybody's done that, but I think that's
kind of what I'm saying is that's what this guy is basing his preliminary deductions off of.
But see, for me, Ryan's example, I had an issue with because as a guy who, for what I do with a living and what I do for hobbies like my electronics and gaming and video games and stuff, you could easily say, okay, so the guy doesn't know what RAM is, doesn't know how to replace a hard drive. The dude's obviously a moron. So that's the only issue is what exactly are basic common sense.
Ryan was just using an example for his work. This is something that he sees the guy deal with day to day.
So yeah, so and yeah, Ryan's so, well, example.
And it's not even that. It's not like the can we do the cremation today? More like the you don't know to call and set an appointment with just like some office that you might be walking into. Like it might be a good idea to call first instead of showing up.
Yeah.
Like yes, that would be a smart thing to do. I agree with him. You know what I mean? Like yeah, I'd probably call. I'm not trying to drive somewhere without knowing what the fuck's going on just so the guy can tell me he doesn't have time and I turn around and go home.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm probably going to hit you up first. But I don't expect everybody to have that kind of like a lot of people kind of go to work. You know, they go home. They, you know, they might have a kid or two and they're kind of just used to a particular routine and they just go and do something and they get it done and
they
go to the dry cleaner, they drop the shit off and then they just pop in and say, hey, we're here to do this. And we're like, well, dude, we need to sit down for a while. There's some things we need to discuss. And I'm looking at them like, well, dude, I mean, you know, we got to do these things. Hey, there's this kind of thing. But I'm coming at it from fucking 12 years of doing a particular job. And
I would also
put myself in the place where I didn't know all this shit.
I would also say that it's also locational, like where we live. It could just be easier just to drive over versus where Ryan lives in Southern California. It can take you 4 hours to go from Los Angeles to San Diego. So I think locationality has a lot to do with what people decide to do. Because I could totally see around here, like, okay, I'll just stop by on my lunch break and say, hey, so what are we doing this?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I would come back to. As Ryan said, I mean, you're going about your day-to-day business. You go to the dry cleaner. If you're driving by a mortuary a couple times a week, you know, in your day-to-day routine, you have a family member die, I could see stopping by the mortuary and being like, hey, you know, I just had a family member die. What is the procedure here? You know, do we need to come in and set an appointment? Are we picking a casket or, you know, things like that?
And that's all totally fine. Nothing that I would blink an eye at or I would ask you to call and set an appointment for anything there. But like, I can't fault somebody or think that somebody is dumb because they had the thought of like, oh shit, grandma died. I guess we'll just go to the mortuary now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't occur to them to call. Would it have been smarter to call? Sure, of course. But do I think that person's dumb, you know, based on something simple or assume that everyone has the same sort of base knowledge as everybody else? That's what I was saying about common sense. And he's saying, like, dude, it's common sense to just call a place before you show up.
Not necessarily.
And I'm like, well, it's common sense to certain people.
Yeah. I have a problem with just assuming people are dumb. I mean, so the only person I would ever assume is even remotely dumb is I had an interaction with a lady one time who asked me this, and this is a legitimate quote, and I'll give you my response. She said, I need you to tell me how to hack my neighbor's Wi-Fi so I can get internet. My response was
upfront.
My response to said person was, I am sorry, that is actually a federal offense, and even if I knew how to do said crime, I would not show you. That's somebody stupid because you literally say the word hack. Hacking neighbor's Wi-Fi. I mean, things that are legitimately illegal to do. And so I would.
She was an undercover.
No, she was a meth head.
An undercover meth head.
she wasn't very undercover. You could tell. It's probably a felony. Possibly, I don't know. I just said it to get her out of my face because it was like, no.
Okay, fair enough.
So to me, that would be something stupid because you're literally acknowledging you want me to show you how to commit a crime so you can get something for free.
Okay, listen, we have to take drug addicts out of the equation. You know what I mean? This is the stupidest shit I've ever done in my life. I've done on drugs.
Yeah, but maybe. But see, to me, that would be classified under.
I definitely ask people to commit crimes whilst on drugs.
I see, for me, I would say that was.
Well, you're technically committing a crime by doing the drugs.
And you're committing a crime while doing
a
crime.
Exactly. So, you know.
You know, asking somebody to do a crime while you're doing a crime, it's not that big of a deal.
But
unless it goes from a misdemeanor to a felony, then it is a bigger deal.
Then it's a big deal.
But I would say that somebody who just doesn't have the knowledge, I think that's unfair. Like, I mean,
right. That's what I'm saying. It's just dismissive, you know?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I think what you're dealing with the gentleman you work with.
He's an idiot.
He's an asshole. He's
an asshole.
He's an asshole. And the reasoning being is that he's taking things that are not common knowledge. Not everybody is going to know procedure for a mortuary. You know?
Something like
I'm going to get into it. And to just automatically assume that everybody per whatever situation they're going to be doing should call beforehand is idiotic. Now, reason being is, let's say you're going to a restaurant, you're going to have dinner with a couple of your friends. Do you need to call and make an appointment? Or, you know, call
reservation.
No, not necessarily. Depends on which one you're going to. You're going to make a reservation at In-N-Out? I don't think so. Or Denny's.
Right.
If you have 15 or 20 people, yeah, I could see that. Five or six, not necessary. Now, that's not something that's going to cross everybody's damn mind. So I don't expect that from everybody because not everybody's going to think that far ahead because there's some spontaneous things. Now, that was what I'm saying is even in the mortuary situation. You're driving down the road, you have your dry cleaner, and you drop it off, and say you're going down a little bit farther, oh, I see a mortuary. Hey, you know, I have a relative that just passed away. I'm going to stop in and kind of try to get an idea of what's going on and what things I need to do. So you just pop in there. You want some asshole coming up to me and like, oh, excuse me, sir, you need to make a reservation. Fuck you. I just want a few answers. That's it.
That's what I would make a joke and say, wait, I thought people were dying to get in here.
Well, that's why you want to call ahead.
I wouldn't, and neither would he. Neither one of us would turn somebody away.
No, I'm not saying they are, but I'm just saying, you know, like to come up and be like kind of more off-putting because you expect them to have, in your sense, common sense to call ahead.
I think that's a pretty fucked up worldview to assume all because somebody doesn't have your level of knowledge and whatever it is.
And you know what? Yeah, that's the other thing I was kind of trying to explain to him because he's not a dumb person. He's actually a pretty smart dude. He's got his fucking wits about him. He knows what's going on. You know, he's definitely got like a lot of common sense. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of just the sort of word we have for it. It just does imply that there's like an innate
common thing
that we all have. Like there's some knowledge that human beings are supposed to have if you're a regular, intelligent, normal American.
Okay, let me put it this way. So I work in the food industry. I deal with a lot of sharp objects, hot pans, things like that. Now,
and a lot of doll cooks.
When I'm giving somebody a knife and I just hand it to them, I expect them to understand that there's a sharp part to the knife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I don't expect them to fully understand right off the bat is how to properly use it, but I expect them to know what side is sharp.
Yeah.
So that's basic common sense to me. Now, same thing with the fire portion. I expect them to understand that when you put metal over a fire, it's going to be hot. I expect that. So that's the basic things of it. Now, most recently, I stopped somebody from taking a brush that was dipped in butter and they decided that it needed to be cleaned and they put it under cold water. Now that's part of the common sense I don't expect them to understand is because you put it under cold water, it's going to coagulate the fat. You're not going to be able to clean it. It's going to get the brush soaked in certain areas and it's going to create mold if you have there. So what did I do? I showed them to take it, put it on a hot metal surface, melt the fat, wipe it clean. That's something I don't expect everybody to understand. But, you know, I wanted a little bit of common sense. Water and oil don't mix. So you have some type of fat situation. You don't want to put it in the water because it's going to coagulate it.
So I guess what...
That's kind of what I'm saying is...
So what's the base level?
I expect them to understand that a knife has a sharp side. I expect them to know which side is dull, what side is sharp. That would be basic common sense to me.
So I guess what we
and that would be something that you don't get taught as a child. Somebody's not going to hand you a piece of metal and be, you know, when you're 3 years old, say, oh, okay. somebody besides me is not going to hand a child a piece of metal and try to explain to them what size sharp, what size dull.
So I think what James is saying is like, what's
a... taught as a child, like, be careful, that's sharp.
Yeah. Well, I think what James is saying is, what's the base level of what would you would call common sense? Yeah. So, like, what's the level between the average person and somebody who may, you know, who may be mentally deficient in certain areas?
I guess that's what I'm saying, is that average can be relative, again, aside from really like cognitive disabilities.
That's the word I was looking for.
But
that's actually two words.
You know, and those things are obviously like spottable, mostly by trained people, you know, and things like that. If we're talking about like an autism spectrum versus a Down syndrome.
But even autistic people have certain things that they're really excelling.
You're getting in the weeds, Ryan. You're digging yourself a hole.
What was the question again?
Well, I have...
What's the base level of common sense?
Yeah, because I still have an issue.
Right. Well, like I said, it's kind of average, you know, not average. There's a spectrum for normal as well. And just because somebody might not have a particular, you know, base on a certain level of a certain thing doesn't mean that they're a complete dummy in all other aspects of their life, or that their brain is fully formed as somebody else's. You know what I mean?
I'd kind of just kind of thinking this over. I don't know if there really is a such thing as
a base level.
Yeah. Well, no, here's what I'm thinking is the fact that I don't,
what I'm trying to say is common sense is not common.
Well, okay. Hold on.
Though something doesn't mean that everyone's supposed to, you know?
Well, common sense, the only reason why I think common sense is what it is. It's a shared basic knowledge between a society. It's a societal shared basic knowledge, and I think that would is
right.
That's
but
what you would call
by
common
society
sense.
And passed on by society, and if it just happened to, you know, skip you that fucking day.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
You know,
hold on.
On whatever it is.
So I want to bring this up to John because this is one of our fondest memories. Is, you know, seeing an RO. Basically almost Elmer Fudd himself. Do you think that guy actually did not understand that that bullet and that gun shot projectiles, and looking at a projectile face to face in a loaded gun is a bad idea? Do you think that guy did not know that? I do. I think he did.
I think,
as Ryan said, it skipped him that day.
Yeah, no, I think 100%. I think some people just have momentary lapse of judgment, and sometimes that right. momentary lapse ends up having your
dire consequences.
Yes, you visiting a morgue.
And then here's the other thing. You can meet somebody that might appear kind of dumb, you know, or sound kind of dumb, you know, based off of, you know, whatever your perception of a certain accent is. Well, if we're talking about a guy who's a big fan of stereotypes.
The best example I think you would say would be like... would be somebody like the professor from Gilligan's Island. You know, he could build a nuclear bomb out of a bikini and a couple of toothbrushes, but he couldn't fix a 2-foot hole in the boat. So on that level, right. what is the common sense? The fact he can't fix the 2-foot hole in the boat, or that he can make all these amazing inventions from random crap that are left on the island.
Yeah. I've just known from experience that I've thought certain people are dumb and got to talking to them for 45 minutes and realized I was fucking wrong.
Yeah, I try not to make assumptions about that anymore, because that requires too much energy to actually to think about things. But I've met people who you would not call like street smart, but this particular person, just by looking at something in a museum, can actually reproduce it 100%.
True.
So I don't know. Your coworker's an asshole, 100%. I'm trying not to be judgmental, but the dude's a prick.
It didn't take me that long to come up with that solution. But I'm an asshole too.
I'm trying to think if everybody kind of thinks that this quote common sense is in fact that common. You know what I mean? If they expect everybody to know, you know, certain things.
Well, okay.
Or if they don't know a certain thing that you would deem common sense, if that's the fucking.
I just think some days.
In my industry, as I said, I work with a lot of dangerous things, and I have to train a lot of people on a lot of dangerous things. And not only that, but I also have to train them on not having cross contamination, not getting people sick. And I deal with a lot of people who are untrained in this. So you would.
By the way, you better believe I'm going to write down that fucking butter and water thing.
But, you know, I mean, to me, like I said, that butter and water thing, to me, that's just a given. That's a common sense application in my own brain, but not everybody's going to think like that. They're going to think, oh, water cleans.
As soon as you said, don't put the thing under the water, I knew exactly why. Immediately occurred to me.
Yeah.
But it would have not occurred to me while I'm about to put that motherfucker under a faucet.
Exactly. So, but that's what I'm saying is I work with a lot of people who are untrained in thinking like that. So, I mean, right. Also in dishes, like I'll have somebody bring over, you know, something that had meat, raw meat on it, and they're just going to take their hand, do that, and then try to turn back and start doing food. And I'm like, dude, no. You can't do that because you have to kill the germs on your hands. You have to make sure that's off your hands before you go and touch stuff that's ready to eat. Now, that doesn't occur to a lot of people, or the fact that you need to put certain foods in a certain way in a region or a walk-in refrigerator so that, you know, cooking temperatures, it all goes down in that whole thing. That's not something a lot of people think of. They'll put fish right above a salad. And you're like, motherfucker, I will slap you.
So I was thinking about this.
That's what I'm saying is, you know, common sense isn't what people think it is. It's an application into your day-to-day life.
Yeah. And the other thing I think most people would consider common sense is crossing a crosswalk and which direction do you look first?
Both.
No,
you look both. You don't trust anybody.
Not at the same time.
Yeah, you do.
Well,
cockeyed?
What I'm saying is, I'm trying not to say something.
Yeah, Marty Feldman.
Setting up John for failure.
I was thinking about your ex-girlfriend.
Here's my thing with crossing the street. At
looking
some point
cockeyed.
When you were young, almost all of us, I would fucking guarantee it, have about to walk out in the middle of the traffic.
Yeah. And
you know what I mean?
Because
3, 4, 5 years old, whatever it is, and based off of our parents' just apoplectic reaction, we probably didn't do that again because it scared the shit out of us. Just our parents freaking out.
Yeah.
So I think to answer your question, I don't think there's such thing as common sense. I just think it's something that we've learned through our life that's beneficial. And sometimes,
at Brooks Hadlin when he got out of fucking Shawshank and he was all scared and he almost got hit by the car.
Yeah, and then like you said, sometimes common sense decides to take a holiday. Bill Engvall has his here's your sign because everybody says or does something stupid. It's human nature. So I don't think you can be judgmental on it. I think you could be judgmental on their application of common sense or lack of common sense.
Just think that everybody has the capacity for those things, and it really is based on environment and experience that. You know, sort of feeds into it.
Totally.
So, you know, somebody might have been dumb, but it's not necessarily like they were dealt a shitty fucking hand.
But the question
there are people that were dealt shitty fucking hands and they made some really bad choices. I mean, that's
Floridian.
Just Charles Manson. I mean, come on. There you go.
He didn't make any
stupid. You said Charlie Manson and I fucking called out an entire state.
Yeah.
I don't think Charles Manson made any stupid decisions. I think all the people who thought, hey, this guy's kind of cool.
There was a lot of women.
Well, yeah, that's
same with Ted Bundy.
I mean, you know,
a lot of women wanted him.
He just wanted
their
from the parts. Their feet,
you know,
their arm,
their
liver.
You know, we would see somebody who joins a cult as probably not having much common sense.
Jonestown.
You know, but there's a type of person. There's an impressionable nature. There's a lot of different things that go into what makes somebody susceptible for that or Scientology.
Well, I mean, if we're going to really just do that, I mean, that's just people wanting to join, to belong to something.
And,
right.
And
yeah,
I
yeah.
think
get Reeboks.
For gang members.
I think part of that is the breakdown of like modern society and modern technology. I personally don't think is really inclusive to having people. Because you have this immediate fix of, like Facebook is a perfect example, is the fact that, hey, I talked to insert person today. I feel full. But when you realize that fullness does not come from real world being next to the person, living life, it comes from this almost drug inducement, this drug induced fullness, if you get what I'm saying. It gives you the endorphin
rush.
Yes, it gives you the endorphins, but without actually physically having contact. And I think human beings are designed for the physical contact versus what Facebook gives you. So I think part of it.
And also really not, you know, like it's actually the same phenomenon when people like tell somebody like, oh, I'm going to start going to the gym and I'm going to lose a bunch of weight. And then those people are like, that's great, man. Hey, fucking good for you, dude. That's awesome, man. I'm proud of you. And people kind of give you that automatic pat on the back for even just thinking about bettering yourself. That gives people the endorphin rush, and then they don't go to the gym. Like, it's an actual fucking phenomenon.
No, 100%. I mean,
we're animals chasing good feelings. That's all, you know?
Well, that goes back to what I've always said and have gotten weird reactions, is the fact that I've never looked for happiness, because happiness is the most addictive substance on earth, because you're always chasing the dragon's tail. You look for joy because you look for joy, because I've known miserable motherfuckers are some of the most content people I've ever met, but it's just that moment they're miserable. Joy is such a better thing to strive for, because you're not looking for, well, that's why retail therapy is a thing. It's like, well, I'm feeling down for myself, so I'm going to go buy something, when in reality, 24 hours later, you're going to have to buy another gizmo, gadget, or whatever. I've known plenty of women, and for some reason, it's mainly women that I've known who do this, I'm miserable, so I'm going to buy a pair of shoes or a dress or something. I've known guys who have done it, but not as many as much.
Those guys are called Metro.
But I do think society is not as... I don't think modern society is made for what I think we as a people actually need. I had a pastor once say that God made people with a community-sized hole, that we have designed from creation to be in community, but modern society eliminates the community but gives us the feeling of it.
Well, it kind of behooves us if we expect to fucking propagate the species.
This is true.
I mean, hey, thanks for giving birth to me. I'm going to fuck off now. Don't talk to me.
So,
you know, not really going to last very long.
This is true.
This is Sparta.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what do you do, though? But, I mean,
for a solution.
Oh, really?
There's actually a person, and I can't remember the who last it was, but they have a... somebody who is a fucking, what do you call him?
Psychotherapist.
Shit. No, anthropologist.
Who
studies, you know, like small group tribes and things like that, and basically came to the conclusion that we evolved to essentially be in groups of about 144 people, if I remember it right.
144.
Like more or less. Yeah,
that's a pretty damn specific number. And more or less, I mean, it sounds like 144 is pretty damn specific.
I don't even know 144 motherfucking people.
The number in the first place. So, but in any case, the fact that we probably only have about 140, 150 kind of intimate relationships at any given point, or sort of acquaintances, including your immediate family and your sort of friends and coworkers. Starbucks people, you know what I mean? The people whose names you remember, essentially.
That's a really small number.
Well, it's sort of our optimal design, because that's how people evolve as far as, you know, being in tribes of about that many people for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands a year.
See, the names thing, I don't know, because I've known James for 20 years of it. I've probably known his name for 18 of it. So I'm not sure what that really says about me. I just think we were designed, and I guess this is definitely different to worldviews, but I do think we were designed to be in community. And I think the other thing is we were meant to work in said community. Like if you look at like the Edwardian period of time, you had a close-knit agricultural society that depended on each other, versus nowadays everybody's pretty much an island unto themselves, which I do think is
right.
Has
it's kind of swinging it's back together in the right. Like, we weren't really designed for this fucking, you know, 10 million people cities kind of shit, but also weren't designed for the isolation of Facebook or and Twitter and Instagram either.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the reasons why the internet, though, is such a big hit, because everybody in some way or another is so lonely that that's how you get the groups like the incels. And I just heard a new term called the femcels. Apparently, those are the crazy cat ladies. So I guess the incels wear the fedora. The femcels have cats. Honestly, the cats sound funner. So I think that's why the internet is such a big hit, is because you're getting that feeling of you're talking to somebody. Like, fake, you know, because...
But not really.
Well, yes. Yeah. And I guess the question is, does that come down to sharing each other's burdens? You know, like, you know, having the everybody's always wanted a band of brothers. You have these people that you live your life with them and they live yours. And if shit happens, you're there to pick them up and vice versa. And I think that's what most people are looking for. But I think most people aren't ready to admit that they need people. And it doesn't have to be family. It can be.
Yeah, well, there's a problem of you know, getting into like a feedback loop with you know,
feedback hurts.
Small groups of people as well.
Well, a true, in my opinion, has always been a true, really good group of friends are never afraid to call you on your own shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's what I was just going to say. Like, I mean, that's kind of how the incel sort of thing started, but it's why I like you guys, because there's nothing that I'm gonna fucking do that if it sounds stupid to you, I'm not getting some shit for.
This is it's why I've always said I've got a host of friends. There's probably shit I'm just waiting for feed, you know, to get crap back that I've said on this podcast.
Fucking Nazis.
Yeah, thank God nobody I know listens to it.
See if we can get your girlfriend to listen.
Yeah, fuck that. Are you kidding? I can't do this kind of shit if I think people I know are listening.
I'm pretty sure Amber's paid attention to some of the show while she's playing a video game behind you.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, no. I mean, she's fucking hearing me in the other room fucking being loud as shit.
So this is kind of a waylaid thought, but do you think one of the reasons why there's so much depression, so much depravity, so much... Even talk about like the school shootings and all of this is because people no longer feel like they're a part of something, you know, minus maybe the, you know, like say, for example, the mental illness. If you had somebody who was always there for you, you know, maybe you wouldn't necessarily have that breakdown. So do you think
so
the ills of society are caused by there's lack of,
they're looking for infamy enough?
No, I'd say they're looking to be a part of something, but because of...
I definitely can say that the one thing that I miss from church is the community part. You know, it's the one thing I wish I can kind of co-op. I mean, although I don't want to join like a fucking group, those people are weird. but at the same time, I mean, there's definitely something to be said for that sort of community type of accountability. There's a friend accountability that's a very unique thing. It's not the same as a community, but the community has its place also.
I would say the one thing about, like, say the religious accountability and being a Christian, I think the religious accountability there's a deeper sense of willing to call you on your own crap versus you have to have really good friends or really shitty people who would call you on something. Because I don't know anybody who I know in a cursory who would be willing to challenge me on anything.
I mean, yeah, not in a cursory. You know what I mean? And obviously, you know, certain things, you know, you've got to pick your battles with your friends, for sure.
Every single day.
You know, you call somebody out on something fucking silly, you know what I mean? But if you definitely see somebody kind of going a wrong direction, I mean, you know, if James all of a sudden started fucking doing drugs again, you better believe I'd say something.
Who's your dealer?
Give me his number. I'm going to burn it.
I don't know. I kind of think this is part of society's ills. I really do. I'm the older I get, the more and more I think that maybe the 70s in some ways was better because the technology you...
No, definitely getting better.
Well, no, here's what I mean. Like in the 70s, like record players and stuff like that, it was a sense of sharing it versus nowadays with computers and social media and all this stuff. You can literally be an island unto yourselves and never realize it. Like record parties and stuff. Like back in the day, people would do that.
People are realizing it though. I think it's just really new. You know, the internet and all these fucking, you know, things are not old, you know, like we're not used to this shit at all. We're really still figuring it out. So I think I think the pendulum is going to find its middle eventually when it comes to the internet. People are going to realize what it's good for and what it can get a little out of control on.
Well, how long do you think it's going to take to fix, though?
Probably another 10, 15 years. I mean, easy.
Well, here's my thought. People are already figuring out the ills of social media from the children who have killed themselves because of cyberbullies and lives that have been ruined because of Facebook. Like, when do you think people are acknowledging Facebook? So say tomorrow people... Facebook starts declining because of it. How long do you think it's going to take to fix the societal issues that social media has caused?
Well, here's the thing is how do you attribute all of it specifically to the internet or to social media? And I'm not trying to fucking be a social media apologist, but,
here's
the thing. It's not like there was nobody that killed themselves before social media.
Yeah. But,
and I don't even think the numbers are up any significant amount.
Well, the difference though is I think with let's take bullying, for example. When you had a bully at school, you had a safe zone. That was your bedroom was safe. And in some response, you could say your Facebook is like your bedroom. It should be your safe space. But then all of a sudden you get these cyber bullies and other things who kind of go into your own universe. You no longer have a place to retreat. So I think it actually magnifies it worse because you have no way to go from it.
There's a type of the internet. There's a type of the internet that invites that, and there's a type of the internet that does it.
Well, yes.
You could just block people.
Well, no.
Yeah, I mean, you could block people. There's a lot of things you can do.
I think social media... I think social media makes it harder for some people. And I think what it is that the kids that have killed themselves and had other issues, I don't think for some reason they had the tools in their toolbox to realize like how to eliminate that from their online life. Maybe it's they don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's definitely maybe like a lack of mentorship or things like that. But then we're talking about, you know, like home issues also.
Oh, 100%.
There should be somebody around that can say like, hey, you know, this. I'm just saying... The internet is not necessarily either the problem or anywhere near the only problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's
you know, for the type of people that would take it so far as to, like, I'm going to kill myself because online bullying.
Well, I mean, it's like...
You know, that is online bullying terrible? Yes, I'm not saying that everyone should suck it the fuck up.
Well, yeah, I mean
people suck on the internet, but...
I mean, there's not...
But it's the people who go that extreme, there's something else going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it
wasn't the only thing.
You know, people on the internet are not evil, but there are evil people on the internet.
Yeah, depending on your definition of evil.
Well, no, I just like because you
Hitler
can,
has a Facebook page.
Does he really?
Yeah. So does Carl Panzram.
I bet he has really wild fans.
yes, Carl Panzram has a Facebook page.
I don't know. That's fascinating to me. God, those good people have some weird groupies, I bet. I don't know.
Sodomites.
I just... shit. I do think...
That's what they said.
I do think... Well, I think you're right, far as some of it is parenting, because A, being on social media as a kid growing, as a kid nowadays, I would never let my children ever be on social media until they're, you know, even 13, I would have as like, okay, I need your passwords. I need access to your world to know how do I protect you, because a 13-year-old boy or girl are not going to know how to handle some of these jack-offs that are on the internet. And like for me, yeah. like, when my children get old enough, they'll never be able to have some sort of digital device where you can access the internet in their room where I can't see it. It's always going to be somewhere from where I can always have access to it, where I can always watch them. And if they don't like that, they're just never going to go online. Because it's my job as a parent to limit their universe.
I mean, the amount of you know, amazing sort of parental control they have nowadays is pretty stellar.
Well, yes,
so,
but
you know, there's
the greatest.
You do have resources for those kinds of things to drip feed the internet reality.
The greatest parental control is you. And I realize there's plenty of stuff out there because I've researched a lot of it, but. A lot of it is you have to, your child's universe is really controlled. Your job as a parent is over time is to let his universe expand. But the issue is really comes down to how much do you let his universe or his universe expand? And so for me, it really comes down to being a person who understands the internet, who understands the type of people who can be accessed on it. I want him to have the knowledge about the internet, how to use it, but be very limited in when he does. If that makes sense. I don't want
it's perfectly reasonable. Here's the thing is, I mean, we all know that kids find shit out, you know, whether you fucking want them to or not, you know, one way or another, you know, no one's going to be there every second of every day. So
what's the porno mag in the forest?
Exactly. You know,
there's
so
a porno mag in the forest.
Them aware, there's always a porno mag in the forest.
But no, like my children will eventually they'll find everything. But your job as a parent is to try to filter out the worst of it. And if the worst
or at least manage expectations. You know what I mean? Things like that, like making them aware of certain pitfalls, like you know, just. Making it okay to save some things for later, you know.
Stay away from Stacy. She's crazy.
Yeah, but her mom has it going on.
I think that the issue, the funniest thing is working retail. And I've had experience with this is there was a grandmother. I've told the story, but there was a grandmother
and
who...
And Ryan thinks you're an asshole for it.
Yep, but I'm going to tell the story again because I think it's a great example. Is this lady was in this big box store, was going to buy her grandchildren video games. Her youngest was a boy, and he wanted Grand Theft Auto. I took the grandmother aside and said, ma'am, I have to tell you what this game's about. This is what it's about. And this little boy, she walked up and said, you can't get that. The little boy gave me a dirty look because this 6-year-old couldn't get Grand Theft Auto. But yes, I'm a narc because my job is not to be the cool guy who let him buy it, is to tell his grandmother what she's in for.
John, your job was to sell product.
No, technically, okay. Yes and no. believe it or not, in that particular big box store, if you're with children and you want to buy alcohol, technically the cashier cannot let you purchase that alcohol. It is a corporate policy because you could potentially be buying.
Do you know how many times I've seen parents buy shit like that with their kids right there?
Yeah, but that's actually part of their corporate policy, believe it or not. So
they have cameras. Why don't they fire those people?
The particular big box store has some pretty tight rules.
They should hire me and put me behind the camera. I'll fire people.
Right. No, I think that was the best thing to do because, a little kid. A little kid does not need to watch or play Grand Theft Auto. A 6-year-old does not need it. I'm sorry. And what if I was that 6-year-old, would I think I was a dick? Yes.
How do you know that kid wasn't 17?
That's a very young looking 17-year-old.
Are you sure? Did you check their ID?
No, but the grandmother was old, so that's what I'm basing it on. They're short.
15.
And they were short.
So?
You're going to tell me
that? Have you ever met midgets?
They didn't look like
John
midgets.
John, look down. There's midgets.
I'm looking at one right now. Most of my life, he's been very short.
Technically, we're actually at eye level at the moment.
I don't know. I think it's the right way to approach it on that as far as you know, telling the grandmother, hey, you know, this is what she could have bought it for him anyways. I don't particularly on that end if she decides to, but I want to give her the knowledge because I guarantee she doesn't know, you know, she probably thinks Pac-Man's the latest, greatest video game. What does she know?
She hasn't missed Pac-Man. I think I'm making John's head hurt.
No, I was going to say it probably needs to be recharged.
What, your head?
No, oh, Mrs. Pac-Man.
Gotta plug her in. Call Carl Panzram.
It's why she has Mrs. Pac-Man.
Did you listen to what you just said?
Yes, it's because I was trying to get past it. So I figured if I said something stupid, you would drop it. So we can
obviously I haven't dropped it since we're still talking about it, right?
Fucker. we're coming up to a
head. So I want to talk about something that...
You have a couple of minutes.
It's a term that I had never heard before. Ryan, have you ever heard of the London Fatberg?
The London what?
Fatberg.
No.
So I play a game that is international. I deal with a lot of people from different areas. And I've heard of this, by the way. I changed one of my characters' name to Flushable Toilet Wipe. And one guy says, we don't have that in the UK. And I said, okay. And then he asked if I'd ever heard of the London Fatberg. A fatberg is a congealed mass in a sewer system formed by the combination of non-biodegradable solid matter, such as wet wipes, congealed grease, or cooking fat. Fatbergs became a problem in the 2010s in England because of aging Victoria sewers. There are huge ass chunks of this shit, literally shit, that got stuck in the sewer system of London. So they no longer allow toilet wipes.
There was.
What the fuck?
And this happened in 2010. I didn't even know it happened in 2010.
Oh, I did. But there was another one that happened that there was also like.
Look it up, Ryan. There,
why is that not happening here? Is it just their old ass?
Because we have actual plumbers who weren't, you know, on some stupid ass freaking London bullshit union program.
Well, there were. There was one some of the United States.
What, Chicago?
Because I remember.
New York?
Okay, you can stop now.
Ohio? Massachusetts?
Jackass. Because I particularly remember an article talking about it where it was fat wet wipes and a massive chunk of feminine products. Because they're just, you know, so that...
He means tampons for you idiots.
So it does happen, but I think it's probably rare in the United States.
I never knew that this was an actual problem.
Crazy.
But
I love that they named it a fatberg.
Yeah, I just never heard of the term. And he's like, dude, look it up. And I'm like, I'm curious enough. I never heard of the term. And I'm like, this just sounds like a disgusting thing. And I want to look it up now. So
you got to know that somebody during this, when they discovered it, was quoting the movie Titanic. Because I totally would have been, and I've never seen the fucking movie.
What's that song that they had? That was it Faith Hill or whatever stupid name is and whatever?
Faith in the movie Titanic?
No, the stupid song or whatever. You know what I'm talking
stupid,
about.
Stupid? That's a stupid song?
I know. That's there's a lot of that.
Even from the last year, there's a lot of that. So you need to be a little bit less broad.
Just call me a chick.
Yes.
Awesome. Anyways, but yeah, I had never heard of the term, and I just like looked it up, and it made me think of a book. I know I told Ryan to read it. I doubt he ever did, but Ghoul. And it talks about how dangerous their sewer systems are. And so the funniest thing is as I'm having this conversation with this guy online, I'm kind of have some television playing in the background called Mud Men. And it's these guys who go to the Thames River in England, and they go and look for, you know, artifacts and shit like that that got thrown in the river, and they wait till the tide goes out. Anyways, they ended up in the London sewers as I'm having this discussion with this guy, and you're wandering the freaking sewers, and that their system is just so disgusting.
Well, because it's like, you know, some of it is.
And the really funny thing is the guy who's in charge of the sewer tells the guys, all this gear that you're wearing, be aware that all this stuff has human excrement on it. So take a shower after you're done. And they zoom in. These guys didn't wash the fucking uniforms or the boots that they put on. They were just caked in sewage.
Well, a lot of it's from what, Victorian era or older?
Yeah, but not the shit they're wearing.
No, no, I meant the sewer system.
Yeah.
It's from like Victorian era.
Well, some of them, they did get renovated in the early 1900s by...
So the Edwardian period.
Yes, but... Yeah, they're really still old systems, and they just got kind of updated, but never really completely renovated and switched out. And in the book Ghoul, they're kind of describing that there's certain sections where there's drop-offs as they're trying to make the sewer system to go down and wash out. And some of these sections are enough to swallow a man whole, and, I mean, you literally drown in shit.
Wasn't there
and there's people that have died doing this. Ryan, are you still there? You got quiet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't there a story of trying to guy giving an elephant an enema and died and shit?
Yeah, that was a Darwin Award thing, well, but I don't think it really happened.
We are coming up to the end of the program. It's been another wonderful, I guess, odd program. It's been another joyous program. I don't know. So... I'm going to repeat what I think was the best thing came out of the show today. Happiness is a drug. Just remember that next time you buy those Nikes. Do you really need them? Yes, I'm talking to you, the guy who's picking up those really expensive pair of Jordans. No, you don't need those. No.
They need Reeboks.
And don't forget, if you're really going to go, you know, it goes really well with Reeboks.
Kool-Aid.
The color purple. Goes Kool-Aid. Really well.
Swell.
Swell.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for
it goes really swell.
Gee golly. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California
Pride. Oh, no, that's the answer. Never mind.
For the California Pariah, for the fat man, and for Ryan. See you. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.